Hallelujah. The Bible says we come before His presence with singing, and we enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Hallelujah. Are you thankful today? Do you appreciate the goodness of the Lord? God, we do appreciate You, Lord. We thank You that You are faithful, that You remain faithful, that You do not change, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. God, You are the strength of our lives. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. I'm about ready to shout in this place today. Well, why don't we just do it? Hallelujah. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't want to do anything without You. And we want You to lead us, Lord, in everything we do. You know the way, Lord, and You know the way through the wilderness. And all we have to do is follow. We don't have to have all the answers. All we need to know is what the Lord is doing in the moment, right? A next step to take. How many have discovered that this Christian life is a lot like just one step at a time? I know we all want to have the whole picture, right? The whole scenario laid out before us. But God says, just here's enough light for you to step. I want you to trust Me. I think if God showed us everything, we'd probably make a mess of it, right? So He just says, this is all you can handle right now. Just take this step or these few steps, all right? And just keep your eyes on Me and we'll get there. Hallelujah. We'll do it together. Amen. He said, yoke up with Me. Put My yoke upon you, right? And so we need to get with the stronger one. And you know, the Lord said, if we're fully trained, we'll be like the Master. Amen. We want to be like Jesus when we grow up. And I'm still growing up. How about you? Amen. When we see Jesus in that day, we're going to say, oh, wow. You know, you ask people, do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, I know the Lord. How about I'm getting to know the Lord? Okay. Yeah. Hallelujah. But Lord, thank You for allowing us to see what we can see, because we can't know You unless You allow us to see. You can't learn God in a classroom. He has to be revealed. The Holy Spirit does that. He takes the things of Jesus and reveals them to us. He reminds us of everything the Lord has spoken and also shows us things to come. And I know, guys, that we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. No matter how crazy things are looking in this world, you just need to remind yourself that God is on the throne and that God is coming to rule. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's not coming this time to be crucified, but He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And He's going to put down all the foolishness. In that day, every knee shall bow. Amen. Hallelujah. So all these that are mocking and scoffing and laughing now. Amen. Guess who's going to be laughing last? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Amen. And God is saying, I'm giving you opportunity. I'm giving you a time, a space to repent. And it's because of God's mercy that we're not consumed, even as a nation. Amen. So God is saying, now is the time. Today is the acceptable time of salvation. Today you can be saved. If you'll repent and turn to the only one that can save you. And so God gives us grace for our journey. Each day is a step of faith. We have to start our day and finish our day with Him. Amen. And we'll just keep on walking with Him. How's that? Every day, taking step by step with Jesus. And aren't you glad that we have somebody to help us when we stumble? I don't know about you, but I've stumbled at least once in my Christian walk. Okay. But we have a friend in Jesus. Amen. And guys, don't ever think, don't let that devil lie to you and tell you that God's done with you, that God doesn't care, that God won't accept you back. Amen. God doesn't get tired of forgiving. He told us to forgive how many times? 70 times 7? Well, how many know that God is, that's His heart. It's redemptive in nature. Amen. Sin is destructive and that's why He hates it. Amen. But if we're wise, we'll listen to His voice and we'll learn from our mistakes. You know, a lot of times life is just like that. It's a series of trial and error. But error can be a stepping stone to succeed, amen, to do better next time, to learn from it. A wise man will even learn from the mistakes of others. without having to repeat it. That's why we need the Word of God. Amen. We can look what happened in the past and say, well, I don't want to follow that same path. That didn't work out very well for him. So I think I'll be wise and listen to God's instruction to me. Amen. And you know why God gives us His instruction? And it's not to make you miserable. It's because He cares. He loves you. And He knows what's best for you. How many know the manufacturer knows the product? Amen. So we need to just trust Him in the journey and know that God's taken us to a place where He's weaning us off of ourselves. Amen. Where it's no longer about us. You know, God wants user-friendly vessels. In order to be a vessel of honor that the Lord can use, He has to work in us, amen, and bring us to a place where we realize that apart from Him, we can do nothing. Amen. Ministry, amen, God's ministry is what we want. You know, we talk about our ministry, but actually it's the ministry of the Lord. It's the ministry of the Spirit, amen, through a vessel. So we got to be careful about putting labeling it after ourselves. Amen. If it's a fruit of God, it's a fruit of His Spirit, and God deserves the glory. But we got to partner. We get to partner with Him. We get to do this. God allows us to partner with Him. That's the cool thing. Amen. The least likelies, even. You know, the people, a lot of times, people might have written you off, but God didn't. See, God says you're perfect for the job. Because you're not fully yourself. You know of your own failures and your own shortcomings. Amen. So you're going to lean on Him and depend upon Him for the grace that you need to bear the fruit that pleases the Father and is helpful for others as well. So today is what? How many of you are thinking about that? You know, I'm thankful for people that send me cards once in a while and say something like, I've got a card, Penny, thank you for that nice card. What was this? Father's the first king that a child ever sees. Something like that. Anyways, but I was reminded it's Father's Day. And you know, guys, the best way to live your life is every day Father's Day. Amen. Amen. It's our Father's Day. This is the day our Father's given us. You know, there are just no perfect marriages. There's no perfect fathers. Amen. Except for one. But those who walk in the ways of the Lord, those who walk in His truth, are the best fathers. Why? Because they endeavor to walk in the example of the perfect one. And like I said, we want to be like the Lord. We want to be like our Master. We want to grow up into Him and become complete and become mature and come to a place where we're able to reproduce, to bear fruit. Amen. So God has to take us through the process of pruning and purification. And sometimes it gets hot, doesn't it? And sometimes the pressure is quite intense. But how many know that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able? But with the temptation, He'll make a way of escape. So you can bear up under anything that comes your way, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, modern feminism, aren't you thankful for that? They've attempted to blur the lines of gender differences. But the Word of God is very clear. It draws some very clear distinctions between men's and women's roles, especially in the home. You know, guys, if we would just turn away from ourselves and from our own opinions and discover what God has to say, we'd do a whole lot better about it. Amen. We can do life a whole lot better. And God is trying to do that in your life, in my life. Amen. Is to get us to turn away from our own opinion about things. Because as many people as are in here today, we've all got opinions, right? And differing opinions about things. But opinion isn't necessarily based upon truth or fact. So the Word of God, as we know, because if you are willing to test it, put it to the test, and actually apply this Word to your life, you will discover that it is true. That it actually is the truth. Amen? That the Word of God works for your life. Why don't we just, as an American nation, as a country, put the Word of God to the test for 6 months? Just 6 months, we're going to say, you know what? Let's just do what this book says as a nation. How many know it would completely transform America? But no, we've got our own ideas now. We're enlightened, as they say, and No, your heart is darkened, and the light that you think you have is actually darkness. And you're not able to see clearly because you're looking through a distorted lens that is rooted in the sin nature that we were all born with. And therefore, we need to transform our thinking. Amen. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to have an optical adjustment, if you will. We need to be able to see things the way God sees them. We need to put on His lenses, amen, and say, oh, the Word of God says. That's why we need to stay in it, because how often do we forget if we don't what the Word says? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You haven't been in it for a while, and all of a sudden you start, well, I think I'll open it up, blow the dust off, and look at it again. And all of a sudden you're like convicted. You're like, oh, my word, I thought I was doing so well. But God had something else to say about it. And the reason why is not because He wants to make you miserable, but because He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace with Him. He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. He's not here to take life. He's here to give life. And life is in Him. There is no other name. Amen. There's salvation and none other. And so, I'm going to talk about fathers. I'm going to pick on the fathers again today, all right? But guys, listen, and ladies too. Because if you get offended by the things that I'm sharing with you, then you need to check your heart. And the only part of us that should be offended is that old sin nature that doesn't like to hear the truth. Amen? And so if I'm offended by truth, it means that I'm not right where I need to be. Amen? With God. And so I need to repent. It's not, amen, we're the ones that need to change. So what I'm going to tell you today is not my opinion, but the Word of God. And if you're wise, you'll heed what you're hearing today. And not only will you hear it in your hearing, but you will apply it, amen, in your life, in your walk. Because I've discovered that this Word does work. The husband, father's leadership role in the home, and marriage originated where? In the heart of God. It was God's idea. It was God's original creative design that we would procreate. Amen? And in order to procreate, it requires a man and a... Okay. Just so we are starting off on the right foundation here. Okay. And it's interesting that people are concerned about, you know, species that are becoming extinct. What about the human race? Through abortion and perverse sex and everything else. I said it, yes. That God be true and every man a liar. So we need to hear the truth. Genesis 1 verse 27. God created man, what? In His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So when God created man and woman, He created them husband and wife. All right? And He instructed them to do what? To be fruitful and multiply. And He also gave them what? Dominion, right? Over the plant and animal kingdoms. In Genesis chapter 1, we see an overall summary of God's creation. In chapter 2, God gives greater detail and establishes the difference, hello, in gender roles. Now, hear this today. What the enemy has done is he's convinced certain people, okay, that God's not good, that God's not right, that God's not fair, okay, and that somehow God is oppressive towards women. Now, how many here have worked for somebody before, had a boss? Okay. Now, is your boss better than you? Or do they have a different role and assignment? Right. They have a different job than you do. But it doesn't mean that they're better than you. They have a different purpose. They have a different role. Okay. So what I'm about to share with you is something that will help you if you're willing to receive it today. A lot of marriages are in trouble because we don't we have this blurred line, a distinction between the responsibilities of men and women within the marriage context. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we've got to learn what God says about it, right? And not get our information from CNN. God forbid, right? Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So also God formed Adam, what? Out of the dust of the ground, right? Verse 20, Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But as for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. In other words, what? Adam was alone. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Now, some of this is going to be elementary to you. This is stuff you may already know. But how many know we need to be reminded? We need to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty, amen, into the lens of God's truth, amen. And understand that did God what? He took the rib that he'd taken from the man, and he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Okay, so to suggest that a woman is inferior to man is incorrect. Why? Because a woman is the same substance. A woman is actually a part of man. Woman came out of man. Therefore, her value, okay, is equal, all right? But her role is different. This is what we need to understand. It's the same thing. God established the family. He put things in place. He put an order to things, amen, so that we wouldn't have chaos in the family. God is a God of order. God is a God of structure. We have to understand how God wants us to live. He created us. He knows how the product functions. He knows what's good for the product. Amen. How it's supposed to work. And then Jesus said also, there a man, you know, later on, he said, a man's going to leave what his father and mother, he quoted this, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, think about this. You and I in Christ are what? The bride. Okay. He's the husband, right? We're the bride, and we are united together in him. And he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, okay? But in the natural, amen, he who is joined to his wife, amen, become what? One flesh. That's God's divine order. And so we see a type of the eternal in the natural. And there is a connection between the natural and the supernatural, amen? And what God does in the spirit, amen. And what happens in the spirit realm, amen, is manifested in the natural realm, whether that be good or evil. And so if we're going to be wise, we're going to have to discover how God created us, what my place, my responsibility is within the context of my home, as a child, even growing up. How many know that God only really gave children one commandment? That was to do what? Obey your mother and your father, right? Okay. So if you can get that right, you're doing quite well. But God gives specific instructions to men and to women, and especially husband and wife. We need to focus on that today. And the fact that Adam was alone indicates clearly that he was what? Created first. He was first in order. And so God decided to make a helper that would be suitable for him. And this also is supported by Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. For a man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, we see that Adam, he named all the animals, right? But he was already exercising, prior to Eve, the dominion that God gave him over the plants and animals. We need to understand the place that God has placed you, guys, amen? And ladies, if you understand your place, your role in the context of relationships, amen, you'll do well. And you need to understand that God is not unfair, that God is not in any way trying to take away from you, but God knows that there is harmony within His will. There's peace within the will of God for you. If you're willing to obey God in these instructions, then you can have a healthy relationship and have healthy children as a result, because you are teaching your children by your example. Amen. And I believe a lot of the confusion today and the blending and the blurring of the distinctions of what is my role and boys wanting to become girls and girls wanting to become boys is really a result of man saying we don't need to listen to God's instruction. We will do it the way we think is best. And the enemy comes and he lies to ladies and says it's because God's not fair. He's not good. He's trying to oppress you. Well, any man that will oppress a woman, amen, is not a man of God. A man of God will love his wife. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. It's what? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're to give ourselves, amen, for our wives. We're to work. We're to support. We're to protect. We're to provide. That's our role. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So obviously, the statement is considered controversial because of some of our modern day thinkers. But We need to decide who we're going to believe. Are we just going to go like we've been doing all of our lives and falling on our face over and over again because we just thought we had a better idea than God? Or are we going to start to say, Lord, you're always right. And I need to start obeying what you've taught me. Amen. Apply your word in my life. Again, guys, there's still areas that sometimes we will resist, at least initially, the will of God when it's presented to us. Amen. But, you know, if you want to be stubborn, then the Lord knows how to get our attention. He can take us out behind the shed and give us a little attitude adjustment, if necessary, because He's a good Father and He loves you so much that He doesn't want to lose you. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. And so He's patient. He's long-suffering. He gives us opportunity after opportunity to listen to His voice and get in line with His instruction, which is His commandment of love towards us. See, God loves you so much that He tells you the truth. People who love you will tell you the truth. How many of us here are brutally honest with our children? Well, yeah. I mean, you usually are pretty straight with your kids, right? I would hope so. So there's no gray area. There's no misunderstanding about what you meant. How many know saying, because I said so, is not necessarily always a good answer, right? Sometimes you do need to explain to your children why. Okay, you're expecting certain behaviors from them. Because you care. Because maybe you've lived a little longer than they have and learned a few things along the way. And know what works and what doesn't work. And because we care, because we love, we speak the truth. People who love you tell you the truth. And when you and I speak the truth, we're not always popular for it. But we need to please the Lord, amen? He's the one that we will give an account to. But because we care about people, we're willing, amen, to pay the price to speak truth to them. Amen. There's suffering involved. If we're going to live God in Christ Jesus, if we're going to live by the truth, you're not going to be the most popular kid on the block. Get over yourself. That's my problem, okay, is me. Well, what do the people think? You know, we'd do a lot better off if we would just get over the opinions of men and start living by the truth. What does God want? What pleases the Lord? Amen. Could this be, this modern feminist movement that is working so hard to undermine biblical position of husband and wife and the roles in the family, could this be the reason why there's so much dysfunction in our homes and in society? If you can even go back 50 years, some of you can go a lot farther than that. I didn't say a lot farther, but farther than that. And you can say, man, what has happened? How things have changed. How did we ever get to this place? It's like one day we woke up and say, what happened? Well, the enemy's been busy over a period of time while, unfortunately, a lot of God's people have been asleep. And we haven't been the example. We haven't been the salt. We haven't been the light. We haven't been the influence that we're supposed to. We haven't loved enough to tell people the truth, amen, and to live the truth before them, to be an example for others. I've been around long enough to know that even when I was young, most people lived, even unbelievers lived by Christian principles in this country because there was such influence by the church. We need to get back there. If America is going to be saved, we need an awakening. Amen. God's people need to wake up and return. I see that happening, by the way. I see a lot of people are waking up now. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's like, wow, it's gone this far, and now we're deciding to wake up. But the key here, guys, is that we wake up, we realize where we're at, and we say, you know what? We need to get back with God. I need to get back with God. I need to get right with God. I need to get my life in order, amen? I need to start being an example for somebody else. I need to start being that influence again in this world. Amen. And if we as individuals would do that, if the church in America would really come back and be revived, brought back to life again, amen, then that influence would affect society as a whole. Because God in us is greater than the one that's in the world. And it's the church, amen, that's supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the salt, the influencers. But the Bible has a lot to say about leadership in the home. Are you ready for this? Titus 2 and verse 4. Older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. You know, I like the Impact girls, and we have some of the older ladies that are teaching the girls. You know, I think that's wonderful that they're investing in them for eternity. Don't underestimate your labors, amen? Keep on sowing, keep on praying. Keep on believing. Amen. And in God's season, God's time, there will be fruit. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Doesn't mean he may wander off, but it means that he will know where he needs to return to. Amen. He'll have that standard, the foundation of God's truth. Hallelujah. And to live wisely, it says. Women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in the homes, to do good and to be submissive or subject, is what that means, to their husbands, then they will not bring shame on the word of God. 1 Peter 3 and 1, wives must accept the authority of your husbands. It doesn't necessarily mean that your husband is all that. He might be a mess. Amen. But as much as he's not violating the word of God, you are to be submitted to him. As a matter of fact, we as God's people are to be submitted to the governing authorities in as much as they are not undermining the word of God. That's where we draw the line. So wives, accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over. 1 Peter 3 and 5, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Are you hearing that, ladies? I hope. The only part I'm hoping is maybe your flesh is getting a little offended today. I don't know. But you know, my flesh needs to be offended by truth. And the part of me that would resist the truth is the part of me that needs to die. Because the new man in Christ Jesus loves the truth, grows by the truth, desires, amen, the milk of the truth. For instance, verse 6, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. Now the holy women Peter is talking about lived God-centered lives. These women wanted to please the Lord in all things, and they recognized God's order in the home. Therefore, they willingly submitted themselves to their husbands. You see, ladies, you have the freedom of choice to do whatever you want. Guys, you have freedom to do whatever you want as well. But we are commanded, amen, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. If we will do that, if we will take ourselves and say, you know what, you may want to do this and you have the ability to do this, but that's not what God wants. Therefore, I'm going to tell myself, amen, what to do. I'm going to have a thing called self-control, and I'm going to control myself in this matter, and I'm going to obey God in this matter. And I find that when we take the step in the right direction to obey God, you take that step of obedience, that God will give you the grace to continue in it. God says to do something, the first step is to discipline yourself and do it. The hardest part about getting started is getting started. So you need to make a change. You need to repent, amen, and say, I've got to change the way I've been thinking, because my thinking is not influenced by the Word of God, but by the society and the culture that I live in. You see, we are citizens of heaven, amen, children of the Most High God. So we are to be lights in this world, an example of our Father in heaven. And the pattern of the heavenly, amen, is supposed to be displayed by the church in the natural realm. So the people around us will say, that's what God's like. That's what Israel's responsibility was, right? To represent the Father. To represent God in the earth. And so when they didn't, then there was a problem. Because they were dishonoring God. Our God deserves to be honored. Most importantly, because He's God and we're not. Because He created us. He designed us with purpose. He knows what works for our lives. His Word is good. The truth doesn't always feel good initially, but when we submit ourselves and humble ourselves and say, I can do what I want, but I'm going to do what God says to do. And when I submit myself to God, He gives me the grace, the power of His Spirit to actually do what He's called me to do. And then I have joy in the Holy Spirit. I have peace with the Lord. Amen. And I know that I'm doing something that's pleasing God, and God's favor can rest upon my life. The reason why there's so much dysfunction is because somehow we think we're smarter than God. And we can do it our way. No, God is smarter than we are. Let's just get over that, okay? Let's just accept that truth. Colossians 3:18, wives, here it is again. Submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, Ephesians 5:23, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. Again, we see the pattern of the heavenly, amen, so it's supposed to be demonstrated in the natural, in the family structure. There's an order, amen. The head of the woman is the man, amen, and the head of the man is Christ. Ephesians 5:24, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So guys, as children of God, as followers of Jesus, we are to be submitted to the will of the Father. And it's a choice that we have to make. If we make the right choice, we'll be blessed for it. How many here wish you could go back and make some changes? All of us, right? I've heard some people say, I have no regrets. I don't know if I can say that. There's regrets. There's things I wish I could go back and change. And if I knew then, how many said that? What I know now? It would have been a whole lot different. It would have been a whole lot better for me. Come on. So why don't we just wise up and say, you know what? God, you're always right. I'm going to start doing what you say. I'm not going to be a hearer only, but I'm going to be a doer of the word. And that man will be blessed. Ephesians 5:33, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. Why? Because woman is part of man. Amen? She is to be cherished. She's a very valuable and important part of us. As a matter of fact, none of us would be here today if it wasn't for women. Somebody say amen. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:8, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. 1 Corinthians 11:9, nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. That's the order. And I know sometimes you're saying, well, what about my husband who's doing this and doing that and bad behaviors? And let me just reiterate this again. Ladies, if your husband is doing something that is not right, okay, in the sight of God, then you're not to follow him in that, period. You're only to obey the Spirit of God in you, amen? Obey the Word of God. So in as much as your husband is doing the right thing and he's not contradicting or undermining the Word of God, you are to be submissive to him. What will happen is God will protect you because the man is supposed to be your covering. And if you obey God, and not necessarily that you may have trouble even respecting the man, but if you submit yourself to him as unto the Lord will be pleased and the Lord will actually protect you in that. And by your example, who knows, you might be able to win your husband when he sees, you know, your godly character and your behavior and the fruit of God's Spirit in your life. He says, I know my wife, I'm thankful for Jesus. Where you at? There you're back. You know, I think she was the first one to gang up on me with some of her Korean friends to pray for me. And boy, you can't outrun those Korean prayers, you know, they're... I've told you this before, but they'll take you to church by your ear, you know. You're going to church. You're going to get saved. Well, I thank God for that tough love, though. Somebody loved me enough. I'm not suggesting you pull anybody by the ear. But we need to love people enough, amen, to be consistent and, right, keep praying. Now, let me just say this. Paul's not making a blanket statement. Hear this, that every man is the head of every woman. He's talking about the context of a marriage, okay? All right? My wife is not to be submitted to some other man. Say amen. It don't work that way, all right? But God does have an order, all right? And we need to be subject to his order because God's will is his way, and his way always works. And we've got to divorce ourselves from opinions that are based upon usually the influences, again, of our culture, of society that we live in, that have told us, you know, repetitively, oh, well, you don't need to listen to your parents, kids. It takes a village. Let us raise you. Oh, ladies, you don't need to be submissive to your husband. That's oppression. No, that's actually freedom if you understand God's way and you're willing to test, put this to the test and say, well, what does God say about it? I'm willing to set myself in the right place within this marriage context, not only for my own benefit, but for the benefit of my children, that they're going to see a wholesome household. Amen. And children will learn the right kind of patterns. Amen. The children need to see their fathers loving their wives, respecting, honoring. Amen. Taking care of their wives. Amen. Understanding that you are a team. God has placed you together. Amen. You have equal value, but you have a different responsibility within the home. And if we can keep that in mind, then we'll do well. Otherwise, the enemy will get in there and with suggestions that, God, yay, did God say that? Did he really mean that? Kind of sounds familiar, didn't it? Yea, hath God said, he said to Eve, right? Question God's authority. Question his word. So I did it my way. And then what happens? Dysfunction. again, we go back and we can say, well, I wish I'd known then what I know now. I would have made some different decisions in life. But it's not too late. Today is the day of a new beginning for you, a new start. You just say, I'm going to just flush yesterday. Amen. Put it out of sight. You put it behind me. Amen. Forgetting what is behind. I'm going to press on now in the new day, the new beginning, in the walk that God has for me, the destiny that God is calling me to. Paul clearly teaches the headship role of the husband here. And this view is going to be received by those who believe the Word of God and love the truth, even if it means a change in thinking. Guys, I'm going to say it again, but I'm not always in favor of truth initially. Sometimes I'm not aware of a blind spot, and when God turns the light on, at first it's not very comfortable. Can you say amen? But if I'm wise, I'll understand that God is always right. And if I'm willing to do it His way, I'll be blessed, amen, in my life. And I'll have the favor of God. And one mark of a true follower of Jesus is that his or her worldview is shaped by what God says and not by the culture around us. And again, guys, the family structure, the headship of the man in the household was God's design. It was first in his heart, amen. And he established it, again, so that we could have health within our relationships. So we could have a healthy society. You know, guys, I know sometimes divorce is inevitable, that it can't always be avoided. But our society is so fragmented because of it that our children are growing up without any structure or understanding what the roles are, the responsibilities of husband and wife, single parents trying to doing the best they can raising their children. And then we have the education system. That's another whole thing. That's just pumping them full of all this propaganda and these doctrines of demons. And if the children don't have the Word of God as a foundation for their life, they're very they're vulnerable to just accept that lie as truth. And often the way this lie works is that you're not aware of it until it's too late. You know, sometimes we do things and nothing seems to come of it, or nothing happens right away. Sometimes we sin. We say, well, nothing happened. It's like the guy who decides, well, I think I'm just going to take a little peek into that pornography. Just a little sample once in a while. Next thing you know, he's in full-blown stronghold. And man, that thing has got a hold of him. And in many cases, they need deliverance, literal deliverance from demons that have entered in through, okay, dabbling in the darkness. And so it is in any decision that we're making in life, we're confronted with truth, amen, and the falsehoods. We need to know what God says about it. If we're wise and we obey God, then we do not allow the enemy to have a legal right to come in and oppress, depress, amen, possess in some cases an individual. And I'm just going to say this, and if you want to talk to me about it later, don't. No, I'm just... But if you want to see me later, we have cast demons out of Christians because they have gone backslidden. And I'm not talking about actual possession if they are in Christ, if Christ has them, okay? But they can be so severely oppressed that these demons have to be actually exercised out of them with full manifestation. And there's a lot of Christians that need deliverance. And one of the big lies of the devil is that a Christian can't have a demon. And so he keeps people bound up in that thing, and they don't understand that there's freedom available in Christ, because they just write it off as, well, maybe I just need to see the psychologist or take some more pills. And what do they do? What do they know? They're operating from a natural perspective, a reasoning. They don't understand the spiritual realm, many of these people. But this is a very real thing. I have witnessed it firsthand. I've known people that have served the Lord, been involved, partakers of the anointing, that are down on the floor growling like a dog, because they opened themselves up through rebellion and gave the enemy legal access to them. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. Amen? They gave him permission by rebelling against the word of God and doing contrary to what God had spoken to him about, what he warned him about. And they said, oh, we don't need to listen to that. We're going to listen to this other voice. Now, I didn't say that to scare you or anything, but sometimes, guys, you need to just call on the body of Christ and say, you know what? I need some help. I need to get free. Hallelujah. Some people are struggling over and over and over, and they're not getting free. Why? Because there's an attachment or there's a legal access somewhere that the enemy has in their life through some type of compromise, and they're not getting free. God wants you free. Free indeed. No part given over to the devil. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. So fathers, here we go. You ready for another one? Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't continually irritate them. Don't be too hard on them, too harsh. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The New Living Translation says it this way. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. That word provoke means to irritate by vexatious commands, unreasonable blame, and uncertain temper. Guys, I tell you what, I've had to repent about some of the attitudes I've had towards my own daughter. And sometimes these things are generational. That's what we were, you know, experienced growing up, and so that's how we think it's supposed to be done. Until the truth of God comes, amen, and liberates us from that stronghold of wrong thinking. And we start to obey the will of God, the Word of God, and start to apply His Word in our lives, and we see the freedom of God come, hallelujah. And as a result, there's peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Amplified says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment. But rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, again, do not provoke or aggravate your children, lest they become discouraged. And that word discouraged means disheartened. Or a broken down spirit. A broken spirit is fatal to a youth. If you're too hard on your kids, you can break them. Now, I believe in good discipline. Don't get me wrong. We need to be disciplined. But guys, whenever we discipline our children, okay, where we're undisciplined in the discipline, it becomes abuse. If I'm not disciplined when I'm disciplining my children, it can become abusive. So you have to be self-controlled. And you have to exact the right amount of discipline based upon what was happening. Sometimes people are too hard on their kids over little things. It's like the boy that's out on the ball field. And he's got the father that is demanding perfection. And he just can't make a mistake out there. And so he's constantly in this fear mode. If I don't please my dad, he's going to be disappointed in me, or he's going to yell at me, or he might even beat me. So the kid lives in this fear and this oppression that I have to perform to a certain level. And if I don't, I'm in trouble. And they live in this bondage. And after a while, it'll produce resentment and often total rebellion against that authority. How many know that God's not that way? God gives us commands, but God gives us instruction because He loves us. And He gives us the choice, the will to make a choice. Because love has to be consensual. It has to be something I choose to do because I love God, not because I have to or else. You understand? That's the difference between grace and legalism. You love God. You don't want to grieve God. You don't want to grieve the Spirit. You want to please the Lord, amen, because you love the Lord. And so you live a life, amen, that honors Him, that pleases Him, because you love Him. And if God says, I need to do this or make this change or repent of this thinking in my life or in my relationships, amen, then I will do that because I know that it'll please the Father and I don't want to grieve my Father. I want to hear my Father say, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, amen, and we want to please our Father. And I want to finish with this. I've said it already, but and this is 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, let me say something. There's been times when men have really tried to do this, but due to situation, circumstances, lack of job opportunity, they've gone out, they've done what they can, what they've known to do to try to get a job. I'm not talking about that, amen? God understands. And God has something for you. How many know that God can put you to the front of the line? God can open a door. But there may be a time or a season when you just may be under self-condemnation because you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to provide for your family, but situation and circumstances are just not in your favor, at least in that time, and you can beat yourself up and say, I should be doing better. I must be an infidel. But he who doesn't provide for his own, especially those of his household, well, he has what? Denied the faith. Now, let me say this. What you and I do in the natural matters. This is not all about just singing and shouting in church, amen? And then going out there and living a different life. Amen? You and I are to be influencers, salt and light. We're to walk filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? Because we're representing our Father in heaven, amen? And His honor in this world. And so what we do on the job, amen? What we do outside these walls, amen, matters because we're either going to bring glory to God or bring reproach upon the Lord. And so we want to live a life that honors the Lord, amen. And especially if we have told people, that's why I say some people, I've seen them, you know, with those bumper stickers, they got Jesus bumper stickers all over their car. But they ain't acting like a Christian. I say, brother, just take those stickers off that car. Amen. Don't tell anybody you're a Christian. That's the reason why I don't have them on my car. I may have a weak moment or something in traffic, you know. Confession is good for the soul, right? But God gives us self-control. He gives us the ability. Amen. We have a choice to make. Are we going to be wise? Receive the instruction of the Lord today. Submit ourselves where we're supposed to. All of us are to be submissive to one another. Did you know that? We're to submit to one another in the Lord. All right? So we can't make it about us. When the body ministers, amen, if you've got a part of you that's hurting, you've got another part that can work, amen? Because you care. Because if that part's hurting, then all of it's hurting, amen? You can stub your toe and your whole body can hurt. So you got other members, amen, that should come to the rescue. But the thing is this, guys, is we need to be willing to ask for help. How many know the phone rings both ways? You can't wait for somebody just to call you, amen? If you need some help, you need some prayer, I'm here. We can pray. Call me. Just don't call me between 3 and 6 in the morning. But, you know, call me anytime. We'll get together. Amen. We'll pray. We'll talk. Whatever. We'll let Holy Spirit do the work. We'll just come together. Amen. But don't be so proud. Don't allow that devil to tell you, oh, what will what people think about you if you've got a problem. How many here have had a problem beside me? Oh, yeah. Okay. So we just got to get real before God. Amen. And say, just lay it down. Quit pretending. You've heard it said, but if you pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become what you should. So let's just do this, amen? Let's say, Lord, I need an attitude adjustment. And wherever I need this adjustment, reveal it to me, Lord. And I'm willing to listen to you. I'm willing to get it right, Lord. I'm willing to do it your way because you know better than I do. You're the creator, amen? I'm the creation. You are the potter, I'm the clay. And so there are distinct God-given roles that differ between men and women. So regardless of what society is telling us, amen, we're not to be patterning our lives according to the world, but according to the heavenly. Because we are heavenly people. Our citizenship is in heaven. And God's looking for someone who will represent Him in the earth. Amen. To be an expression of His heart. So I behave myself for the honor of my Father. Amen. And for the benefit of my brothers and sisters too. I don't want to put a stumbling block before any of my brothers and sisters. I don't want to allow anything in my life that could cause somebody else to stumble. I'm not going to go out and buy a six-pack. Well, yeah, I'm not getting drunk. Medicinal purposes only, brother. That's your second bottle, third bottle. How many have ever thought about that, though? You go and you go buy booze. Child of God, we're in America. What do people think about that? Okay, they know you're a Christian or follow Jesus. You may say, well, I have peace. You know, I have a little wine once in a while. And, you know, and if you can have that between God and you can have faith in that and not condemn yourself, I'm not here to tell you what you allow or disallow in your life. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you is, why do we need that? We don't need that. We have the new wine available to us, the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be drunk in Him. We're supposed to be inebriated in His love. Amen. So we don't need the inferior stuff or the lesser stuff, because if I go and decide, well, I'm just going to go have a beer. And here's Brother Joe. Is Joe here? Okay, no Joe here. And Joe has been struggling with alcohol. That's his stumbling block. And now he sees his brother buying the beer, saying, oh, it's no big deal. It's okay. We can have a beer once in a while. A little social drinking. Well, Joe says, well, if it's okay for you, it must be okay for me. Joe picks it back up, and now Joe is right back in that same pit again because he yielded. And all those demons that came out of him are just come right back in again and established another stronghold. And if we're going to live in love, amen, we need to be considerate of one another and realize that whatever I'm allowing in my life, I have to be considerate about others. If it's going to influence them adversely or in any way cause them to stumble, I'm no longer walking in love. So for me, I'm not going to do anything, amen, or allow anything in my life that when in any way could send the wrong message or cause a brother or sister to stumble, because that's called love. Are you hearing me? So we live from that perspective. Not is it right or is it wrong? Is it the loving thing to do? Is it right before the Lord? You know, I know these things are controversial, some of them, guys, but listen. Jesus was controversial. He offended everybody. Everybody in His life. Not unintentionally, but when you live the truth and you speak the truth, people that are living in the lie or are living in darkness, and especially if they don't want to receive the truth, are going to be offended by it. But aren't you glad that somebody offended you and brought you to a place where you realize how rotten you were? How many know that's the work of the Holy Spirit? Amen. He begins to show us how rotten we are, so we will come to the only one who can cleanse us. Amen. And make us right. So loving people is also being responsible in what I do. And guys, love your wives. Respect them. Cherish them. Amen. I find that if you love your wives, don't wait for your wife to do something for you. You do first. Amen. You take the initiative. You love your wife. You treat her right. She's the queen of your home. Amen. And then you'll make it a lot easier for your wife to say, you know what? I'm okay with submitting to you because you're safe, because I know you love me. Amen. And that's where it's at. Hallelujah.